And I appreciate you, Pastor. What a great preacher he is. And I'm honored to be here. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. If you ever get a chance to come to the hills of Tennessee, we'll treat you the best way we can. And we'd love to see you. I pastor a little country church down by the creek. We walk straight out of the church and baptize in the creek in front of our church. We got 45 acres behind the church. We just built us a tabernacle like y'all got. And we have plans on building a new church. And we've got a couple of bears that hang out in the parking lot on occasion. And you think I'm joking with you. We got pictures of a black bear in our baptismal hole. Some of them said, "Preacher, what can we do to get rid of that bear?" I said, "Let's catch him and baptize him and he'll never come back, praise God." Amen. 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 You've baptized some of them like that too, haven't you, preacher? Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter number 11, and I want to start reading verse number 28, and I'm going to read three verses tonight. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that tonight in this place would you give us liberty, God, to preach the message that you've laid upon our hearts. Father, thank you for the kindness of this people. Thank you for this good man of God and his precious family that have been such a blessing to us. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to be a blessing to this work and a blessing to this people. Order our words tonight, God, and our steps according to your will. And Father, we thank you for this day that we've had together. And Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in the Word of God, a very familiar passage of Scripture, the words of our Savior, speaking in verse number 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm thankful for the day that I heard that call. I'm thankful for the day when I was loaded down with sin, when my heart was so heavy because of the life of sin. I'm glad that I heard an old-fashioned preacher preach the message that Jesus just said come to us. And I'm glad he'll take that burden and that load from our life. But I was looking at this one day and I began to study this a little bit. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." But he didn't stop there. He didn't just stop at the fact to come and I'll give you rest. He said in verse number 29, he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." He said, there's a process that after you get saved, he said, there's a process. He said, you need to learn some things. You need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." He said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I was really struck that day by the very thought of the yoke. And studying, of course, and if you know anything about this, in Bible days, the yoke was an instrument that was used in upon the animals, that were used to bear burdens, that were used to plow the fields. It was a wooden thing that they'd put around the oxen's neck or the animal's neck. Matter of fact, that word yoke here in the Scripture comes from a Greek word that means a coupling for servitude. In other words, Jesus said, not only do I want you to come to me, I'm going to give you some rest, but he said, I want you to hook up with me when you get here. I want you to get in the yoke with me. You see the thing about it, when you see that yoke of oxen, they're walking side by side. They're coupled together for a particular purpose, and sometimes it's to labor in the field. I began to think about that, and I thought about how the Lord spoke here, and he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." But he didn't stop there. He said, there's a service that every one of us needs to be engaged in and coupled into. He said, if you'll take my yoke, He's not forcing it upon you. He didn't say, listen, I'm going to put this on you whether you like it or not. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I begin to think about that. I'm preaching on this subject, man. When I was growing up, my daddy, I lived in the hills of Tennessee there. My daddy had a little old farm there, and I was the only boy on the farm, and so I got to help with all the dirty work on the farm. And back when I was growing up, sometimes on them hillsides where we come from, you couldn't put a tractor on the side of the hill because you'd turn it over. But a lot of times those old farmers, they had horses. They'd take them out to the fields to plow the fields. Matter of fact, my daddy had some horses. And I remember as a little old boy watching my daddy go to the barn and get those horses and get ready to go out to the particular field that he was going to plow, or maybe the particular crop that he was going to attend to. And I remember seeing that as a little old boy, and it was always intriguing to me. You see, the thing about it is that the end result was a harvest. I mean, that's the whole end game. If you're going to go plow, and if you're going to go plant, and if you're going to go do something, the whole end game is a harvest. But the thing about it, there would never be a harvest without a harness. I began to think about that. I said, in our churches today, that's pretty much where we're at. We want to see a harvest of souls, but there ain't nobody willing to get in the harness with God. I'm preaching on this thought tonight, if I could please, for just a few minutes, on the harness of God. I don't know about you. I hope that everybody here tonight is engaged in the work of God. I hope everybody here is pulling your weight in the service of God. I trust that everybody here is doing your part for Liberty Baptist Church. But the only way you'll ever do it is to hook up with Jesus, hook up with the Lord, and let Him use your life in a wonderful way. Amen. Matter of fact, I brought a piece of harness with me. I'm an illustrative preacher. I can't help that. I'm not a deep preacher. I like the old preacher Sam Jones once time said, the little boats ought to stay near the shore. Let the big boats go out in the deep water. So I do that. I'm just a little old country preacher from Mountain City, Tennessee. But I brought a piece of harness with me tonight. My brother-in-law gave me this, and I thought I'd bring it tonight to illustrate this message. Some of y'all may have done this at some point in time. I've got an old bridle here. This is an old bridle that probably has been used in days gone by to put on an old horse or an old mule. And when I pulled it out and looked how long the face was, I said, I've got some church members I believe could wear that without any alteration. I really believe they, some of them come in on Sunday morning looking like a mule eating sawbriars, and I believe that'd fit them without having to alter it at all. I got to thinking about that one day. I thought about my daddy as he would always go to get those animals out of the barn. You see, he was the master of those animals. Hey, those animals were for his use and for his service. When Jesus saved you, He saved you not for you just to sit on a pew. He saved you just, but not just because you're good looking or smart or anything like that, but He has a particular field. He has a particular area of service for every one of us. And if we're going to serve Him and going to do what God would have us to do, we're going to have to hook up with Him in the harness. You're going to have to get the yoke on you, amen, and let Him help you. Now, this is what I like about the yoke. He said, take my yoke upon you. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. You know, I said that because when you get in the yoke with God, you see, you don't have to do the pulling. All you got to do is walk beside Him every day. Amen. He does. That's why it becomes easy. Praise God. Some of y'all right now trying to pull your weight. You're trying to fix your problems, when all the while what you need to do is hook up with Him in the yoke and let Him help you tonight. Amen. You say, preacher, what is the yoke of God? I begin to think about what the yoke, what will enable us and equip us to serve God. First of all, the Word of God. You will never be pleasing to God until you got God's Word in you and on your life. Amen. I tell you, we got to have it. Not only that, you got to be led by the Spirit of Almighty God. I know some Baptist folk that's scared to death of the very thought of the power of the Holy Ghost. I got news for you, praise God. It was real before the Pentecostal crowd ever came along. Amen. I got news for you, but let me tell you something right now. I won't know about you, but I want to serve God. I want to be used of God. I want God's blessings on my life, and I thank God for the day. Not only did I hear the call, but thank God for the day that I took His yoke upon me. And I said, I want to learn of You, Lord. Help me, Lord. And I'm glad He's been helping me ever since. Amen. You say, preacher, what is it about the harness of God that we need to know tonight? First of all, the harness of God is for our discipline. You see, them horses of my dad, they, even though they'd been broke to work, they still had an old wild nature about them. They wasn't readily excited about going out to a field to work. Matter of fact, if you didn't restrain that old nature that they had, you'd get nothing out of them. Amen. I got news for you. When Jesus saved you, hey, He didn't eradicate your old nature. He just gave you a new nature. I mean, there's a struggle, there's a warfare, there's that spirit man that wants to do right, and let me tell you something, you've got that old nature that still wants to do wrong, it's got the inclinations of Adam, and you're going to carry that until Jesus comes, but thank God one of these days, I'm getting rid of that old wild nature, amen. Aren't you glad, praise God? But I thought about that, my dad, before he could ever get anything out of him in the field, he had to put that harness on him, and that included this right here. Had some bits that had to go in their mouth. If you're going to control that animal, you've got to get control of him by the harness. And the first thing that came into submission on that animal when this was put on it was its mouth. I definitely know some Baptist church folk that need to be in the harness, because let me tell you something right now, if you can get the mouth under control, the rest of the body will soon follow. I never have seen them old horses just open their mouth and grin real big. Here I am, go ahead and put them bits in there. No, most of the time they got their teeth clenched, and I've seen my daddy take his hand and shove them bits up in them old horse's mouth. You know why? Because that old wild nature didn't want that, because that horse knew that once this went on, the game was over. Amen. That the master had full control. I got news for you. Praise God. Thank God for the day that I surrendered everything to Him. Thank God for the day that I hooked up with Him in the yoke. Amen. And He got full control of my life. It's for our discipline. Not only is the harness for our discipline, it's for our direction. I never did see my daddy do this, harness them horses up, open the barn door and say, all right, fellas, I'll see y'all this evening. See y'all this evening. Y'all just go ahead and do what you feel like doing. No, you see, that's not the way it works. The master calls the shots. The master gives direction. Matter of fact, the master... I see my daddy, I mean, of course you got the reins on this thing. And the horses understood a language I don't really understand. Gee and haw. I know right and left, but gee and haw, I'm still having trouble with gee and haw, but that must be horse language or something. Amen. But I've watched this, them old horses start going in the wrong direction, and the master would go to tugging on the reins. Aren't you glad that when Jesus saved you, He put something inside you that when you begin to veer off course and you're headed to a place you shouldn't go, that you can feel Him tugging on the reins. Amen. I don't know about you. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, there's been a few times I felt Him pull on the reins and say, whoa, boy. Let me tell you something. Thank God for the Spirit of God keeping me out of some messes in my life. Amen. I don't know about you. Praise God. But I thank God for the day that I hooked up in the harness with Him, amen. And He gave me direction in my life. I got a preacher friend, he's been preaching, he's an evangelist, been preaching probably 55, 60 years. And this old preacher told me, he said, I'm going to tell you something, what happened to me. He said, I love horse pulls. I love to go watch them. And he said, we were traveling through a town and had to stop and get a motel. And the fellows were traveling with me. Said, we looked in the lobby of the hotel and they had up a poster there that said they was having a horse pull down at the fairgrounds. And he said, we noticed though that it had already started, but said, I love it so good. I told him, said, if we'll hurry, we might catch the last part of that horse pull. He said, we hurried around, got our stuff checked in, and went on down there to that place and said, when we got there, I said, sure enough, it was just about over. Said there was only two teams of horses left to pull that night. He said they were pulling for the prize, these two teams. He said there was a big team of horses, beautiful animals, he said, that was pulling for the prize. And he said there was a smaller team of horses that was pulling for the prize. He said it came time, so they flipped a coin to see which a team would go first, and it fell the lot of the big team to have to go first. He said they walked them out there and they hooked them up to the weight they had to pull, and whoever could pull it the farthest was the one that won the match. He said the owner of those animals out there said, those beautiful animals, said they hooked the weight to them. They stood there waiting on the signal to start pulling. He said all of a sudden they gave him the signal to begin pulling. Said all of a sudden that owner of those animals started slapping with the reins and started yelling at those horses. And man, they started fighting and struggling. He said, you talk about giving everything they had, they were pulling. And he said they pulled it all the way up there, a long ways. And finally they got as far as they could go. They had to stop and unhook them. Said finally it came time for the little team of horses to pull. Said they walked him out there, the owner did, walked him out, hooked him up to the same weight. And said he stood there waiting on the signal to begin pulling. And he said, preacher, said they gave the signal to start pulling. And he said, I don't know what that man said to them horses. But he said, what first of all, said he just stood there after they gave the signal. Said he just stood there, looked over the crowd, looked back at them horses. And he said, I don't know what he said. I couldn't hear it. It was too soft. But he said, when he said something to those horses, both of them stepped up in unison and tightened the trace chains and just stood there. And then he looked the crowd over again and he spoke to them again. And he said, all of a sudden those horses started pulling in unison. They wasn't fighting and struggling. He said they pulled and said they pulled the weight farther than the big team did. I got to thinking about that when he told me that illustration. I said, you know, I don't want to be that servant that's in the harness that God has to whip and God has to raise His voice to me. But I want to be that one that can hear Him speak softly. And when He speaks, I want to be able to step out and do God's will. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad He'll give you direction? The harness of God is for our discipline, for our direction. And I got on this a little bit this morning. It's for our determination. I used to watch my daddy take them horses out. It'd be a long, hard day. Sometimes the plowing was easy. Sometimes the ground was soft. And man, it just seemed effortless. They just clicked right along. But every now and then you'd hit a rocky patch. Every now and then the ground would be a little hard. And that harness would tighten up on them old horses. And it's almost like they sensed that the pulling was going to be a little harder than it had been. Now them horses wasn't Baptist. How do you know, preacher? They'd have been Baptist when they hit the rocky patch and said, you know what? I didn't sign up for this. I'm going back to the barn. There's a lot of church folk today. When the plowing's easy and when everything's going well and when the glory's falling, they're willing to hook up. But you let the plowing get just a little rough. You let the ground get a little hard. You let the way get till it's not easy. And there's a crowd, praise God, they said, well, you know what? I'll just do something else. I'll do this or I'll do that. I got news for you right now. You know the reason them horses didn't go back to the barn? Because they is in the harness. If you get in the harness real good, praise God, there ain't no quitting place, amen. There's no place for turning around. There's no place for sitting down, praise God. If you're in the harness, you're in the field till the Lord comes. Amen. It's not only for our discipline and our direction. It helps our determination. But it helps distribute the load over the entire body. I was reading about the yoke in the scriptures there, and one commentator said this. He said the idea of a yoke sounds like a cruel instrument. Matter of fact, it sounds like something to be cruel to put on an animal. He said, when all actuality, said, it's an instrument of mercy. He said, because that animal couldn't bear the load it has to bear without getting injured or getting hurt without the yoke. Can I say to you, the only way you can carry the burdens and the load you're facing in this world is to be hooked up with Him. I'm telling you, the only way you're going to make it, friend, you better know, praise God. Hey, you better... Let me tell you something. The only way you can carry the load that Liberty Baptist Church is facing is for everybody to be in the harness. Everybody pulling together. Everybody sharing the load, amen. I go a lot of places, praise God, and the preacher carrying the whole load. I do. Amen. I didn't get many amens on that, but I can preach it anyway and amen it. I can preach it and amen it. Just takes a little longer to do it that way. I go a lot of places. Preacher, I mean, he's killing himself. I mean, he's drinking Maalox and praise God, taking 3 high blood pressure pills and praise God. And then a crowd comes in on Sunday morning and says, bless me if you can, Lord. I was coming back home from a meeting one time in Charlotte, North Carolina, and me and my family was together and was coming up I-77 on a Saturday. Headed back, I'd been in a week-long meeting up there. And all of a sudden, as I was driving on the interstate, one of them car haulers that hauls automobiles to the dealership passed me. Had about 7 or 8 cars on it. And as it passed by me, I looked at my wife and I said, there goes a Baptist preacher. She looked at me kind of funny. She said, who was it? She thought it's somebody I knew. And I said, no, you misunderstand what I'm saying. I said, you see that car hauler there? I said, got about 7 or 8 cars on it. I said, that reminds me of a Baptist preacher. I said, every one of that crowd's a riding. Only one of them getting any miles on it. I said, that crowd ain't even got their motor on. That's about the way as it is in the average Baptist church. You come in on Sunday morning, they jump up on the preacher's back. Now get us in the glory, preacher. Why don't you crank your little motor one time? I told him up there, we're an hour away from that Bristol Motor Speedway, and when they get ready to start that race, they always have that guy comes out there, grabs a microphone and hollers, gentlemen, start your engines. I'm thinking about doing that at the church on Sunday. Just get somebody to make that announcement. Somebody just, go ahead, start your engine. Some of y'all looking at me strange, man. I know we're strange in Tennessee, but I'll tell you one thing right now. If you'll get in the harness real good, it'll help bear the load of the work, amen, here. You say, preacher, what else is it about the harness? It's for our discipline. It's for our direction. I'm glad it helps us in our determination. Not only that, the harness does something else. It'll eliminate distractions. If you look at this bridle that I've got here, it's a special kind of bridle. Some of y'all know what I'm getting ready to say. It's called a blinder bridle. Because right on the sides, each side, right about where the eyeballs of that animal is, got a piece of leather here and a piece of leather here, so that when you put the harness on it, that animal can't see to this side, he can't see to that side, and he can't see behind him. His focus is on the end of the road. Boy, I tell you one thing right now, you better be in the harness in these days. Because there sure is a lot of things to distract you. Sure is a lot of things to take your attention and your focus away from what the most important thing is. I tell you, we're getting late in the day. Hey, we're almost to the end of the row, praise God. I don't know about you. I believe the Apostle Paul was in the harness when he said, forgetting those things which are behind. He said, I ain't looking back. I ain't looking to this side. I ain't looking to that side. So many churches, they got rear view mirror religion. All they can talk about is what happened 15 years ago and 20 years ago, and all they can talk about is what used to be. I got news for you, praise God. There's a role God's given us, amen. And we need to stay in the harness, amen, and get the distractions out of our life and serve Him with a whole heart, amen. It eliminates distractions. Not only does the harness eliminate distractions, but it's for display to a lost and dying world. What do you mean, preacher? There's a famous team of horses. And even before I tell you, most of y'all done figured out the most famous team of horses I know is owned by a company. I don't agree with the product they sell at all. Matter of fact, I preach against it. But they're beautiful animals, beautiful creatures. A team of horses called the Clydesdales. I've got a preacher friend. Matter of fact, he's my son's father-in-law. Pastors in Walnut Cove, North Carolina. And Brother Lonnie Sorrell told me one time, he used to be on the fire department up there, and he said, preacher, he said, one time we were wanting to do a fundraiser for the fire department, and we was going to do a horse pull, and said, somebody got the idea, said, why don't we see if we can't get that company to send the Clydesdales. They'll be a big draw, they'll draw a lot of people in, and we'll have them as the main feature to our horse pull. And he said, they decided to do that, so they called the company. The company agreed for a certain amount. They said, we'll do that, we'll bring the horses. He said, "Preacher, I was in charge since I was over the fire department. I was in charge of meeting this team of men that brought this team of horses from the Anheuser-Busch company." And he said, when we got there, he said, "There's three men came with those team of horses. Every one of them are paid highly by this company. Everyone had a specific duty that they took care of those horses." He said, "One of them was to watch their diet. Everything had to be just right with their diet." He said, "One was to make sure that they were harnessed correctly." But he said, "Preacher, one man's job, this was what he was paid full time to do." He said, "After they'd get the harness on those horses, before they would let him go out in public view, he would take a cloth and go over every inch of that harness to make sure you couldn't see a human fingerprint on it." In other words, they're putting forth an image. They don't want you to see man's hand on it. I got to thinking, boy, wouldn't that be good if some of our church folk would get in the harness with God to the point that a lost man look at him and said, "You know what? Ain't no way man could have done that. Ain't no way Brother Bowman could have done that to that fella. That had to be God that changed his life." I don't know about you, praise God, but I wonder, they see the fact we've made professions of faith, but are they seeing you walking with Him every day? Hooked up in the yoke with Him? Are they seeing that in your life? It's for our discipline, our direction. It helps distribute the load. It limits the distractions. And last of all, it's for our delight. What do you mean, preacher? My daddy would always work those horses. He'd plow till finally he came to the last row. Getting on up in the day now. And there's the end of the row they've been looking for all day long. When they'd come to the end of the row, this is what my daddy'd always do. He'd unhook the weight they'd been pulling. He wasn't guiding them. He'd take and lead them back to the barn. He'd put them in the barn there, and my daddy would take that old harness off and hang it up. Then he'd take an old brush, and he'd go to brushing them old animals like he's saying, "Thank you, boys, for that good day of work you gave your master." And then I'd watch my daddy. He always fed his horses good, but on them days he worked them hard, he had a little extra feed he'd throw in the box. Something a little special. And my old horse almost like he's saying, "Thank you, boys. You've been a faithful laborer in the field today. Here's a little something special for you." I got to thinking about that. We're close to the end of the row. We're almost home, church. I can almost see the end of the row from here. And let me tell you something. Sometimes you get weary and you get tired and you feel like you can't make it to the end of the row. But I promise you, there's coming a day we're going to unhook from the weight that we're carrying. Preacher, sometimes in burdens we carry, there's going to be an unhooking day. Amen. When Jesus unhooks us from all those burdens. And it ain't going to stop there. When He unhooks us from the weight, He's taking us to a place that He's got something special prepared for us. Hallelujah. I'm glad one of these days He's going to look at those who've labored and served God. And He's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things." Boy, aren't you glad? Praise God. I promise you this. They used to sing a song years ago, "Then we'll be glad we live for Jesus." Well, I'm glad I've lived for Him now. But you better believe it. Praise God. Sometimes those things you've done and you've tried to labor, nobody knew anything about it. You said, nobody even knows what I've done, preacher. I got news for you. We serve a God that keeps good books. He keeps good books. And I promise you there's coming a reward day. He's going to, listen, let me tell you something right now. I don't know about you. I'm thankful for the day that I heard the call. "Come unto me, all you that labor and have heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." But I'm also thankful for the day that He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." I got thinking this evening, how did I end up in Bowdoin, Georgia? I didn't even know where Bowdoin, Georgia was. I didn't know there was such a place. Y'all didn't know there's such a place as Mountain City, Tennessee. How did I end up here? Because one day, not only did He save me, but I got in the yoke with Him. And you see, there's fields that He directs you to, Brother Bowman. He had to take me out in the middle of the ocean to get me to this field right here. And to get Brother Bowman up to our place, which, by the way, won't be the last time he's coming up there. Amen. I like to get preachers around our people that's got God on them, and he's got God on him. Don't take that for granted. I've seen a lot that ain't got God on them. But I'm thankful that one day I said, God, here it is. I ain't much. I ain't got much talent or ability or anything like that. But I want to take your yoke. And I want to learn of you. And you know what? I found his yoke to be easy. And his burden light. Sometimes my burdens ain't light. But his is. And I found that even sometimes when I get loaded down in this world, if I just get my eyes on the end of the row, it sure makes the load a whole lot easier that I'm carrying. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to make sure that I'm in the harness, doing God's will for my life. Let's bow our heads tonight. Every head bowed, you've got the message. And I want to ask you tonight. No doubt most of you tonight here are saved by the grace of God. There might be somebody that's not. If you're not, you can be tonight. I'm glad that call's still going out, coming to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You're here tonight and you're saved, and you've not really thought much about it. You say, well, I know I'm saved, preacher, but I wonder, have you really thought about taking the yoke upon you? I'm talking about hooking up with the Lord and letting Him take your life and use it in service to God. You might be amazed at what God could do with you. Your gift, your talent, your ability. It might be amazing to you what God could do if you'd be willing to get in the harness with Him. I want to ask you tonight as we stand to our feet. There may be somebody here you feel the need to come. It might be you just want to come and say, God, I want you to use me. Father, I want you. I don't want to be one. I don't just want to come, Lord, just for your salvation, but I want to be used in service. And Lord, whatever field you want me in, whatever area, whatever direction you have for my life, I want to be able to hear your voice. I want to be able to do your will. I want a lost world to be able to look at my life and see the hand of God upon it. Not the hand of man, not religious imprint, but to see the hand of Almighty God. I want God to have His will and way in my life. Preacher, I want that old nature to be brought under submission. Preacher, I want to be able to let the Master have control. And preacher, I just want God to help me. It could be you're here and say, preacher, I just want God to help me when the plowing gets rough and when the burdens get heavy and the troubles come. Preacher, I just want to be able to stay in the fight. I just want to be able to stay in the battle and do God's will for my life. Maybe you just want to come tonight. You could be here tonight. You've got a burden. You've got a problem. You've got an overwhelming need tonight. Tonight would be a good night for you to come and give it to Jesus tonight. I don't know about you, praise God, but I believe I'd just hook up with Him tonight. Get in the harness with Him tonight. And I'm glad He'll help you. I wonder anybody else, if she's playing softly, you feel that need. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to turn it loose to the pastor tonight to do as God sees fit. Father, we thank you tonight.